Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Well, hello, everybody. We have a great topic, one of my favorites, probably because Stars Maya Moon, of course, the lovely Stars Maya Moon is with me on Monday nights, but she is so, she knows so much about all this kind of topic. I don't have that much experience per se myself. I know a lot, but she's had experiences, and I'm going to tell you, I really love it when she says, well, I'm going to convene with my guides. I just love when she says that. I have to convene with them. I have to see what they want to say. But anyways, it's a great topic tonight. It's part one of part two. We're going to discuss spiritual guardians. I always tease everybody and say I figure my guides are on vacation, probably in a boat somewhere having a good time, because I don't really know of their presence, although I believe that they're there, but I don't know. I guess I want to make people laugh a little bit about it, but that's sometimes what I say to others. And so tonight, yes, this is our topic, and if you'd like to call in, the guest call-in number is 347-838-9736. We would always like to hear from you. You know, if you've had some experiences, you know, we'd like to talk about that. So anyway, Stars Maya Moon, how are you tonight? Good?
I'm good. I want to say hello to everyone, as always, that it's such a pleasure and honor to be here and to be here, of course, with Miss Natalie. And, I'm not trying to speak for you, but I know you feel the same way, that we're honored, yes, and we love that, you know, we could offer this to you. But, you know, this is also, remember, Natalie will give the number. Although we don't do readings here, they do it in the chat room. We don't do them on air. We're always open for those that would like to call in to make a comment or to pose just a general question, not a personal life question, but a general question or a comment on the subject. You're always welcome. And it don't be intimidated by the radio at all. It's just like talking with friends. All you have to provide is your first name. You don't have to give out any personal information, so it's not as if people are going to say, oh, did you hear so-and-so last night? It doesn't work like that, so please feel comfortable, and it really adds. I know I get so much joy in my heart when I get folks that call in and have something to share and, you know, connect with the topic, or clients that come to me and that have listened. And, you know, if you can't always listen, I know I say this and I always laugh after I say it, because I say if you can't, you know, listen to us live, you can always go to the homepage and listen to everything is recorded, all the broadcasts. But I guess if you're not tuned in listening now, you're not going to hear me saying that. So
true. How true.
So,
but anyways, we have a good time. I mean, we share a lot of things. But this topic, and the reason we have it for 2 weeks, one of two, is because I think there's just an awful lot to discuss. And like I said, Maya Moon is very, she really knows an awful lot about this kind of stuff. I feel she does. So I'm going to let you start with it. And then when you want me to chime in, just let me know.
Okay, well, I know you don't lack for things to say, and I know you do have a lot to share. Well,
yeah,
if you're a client of mine, you know, I've been in this professionally for so many years, over 35 years, and in the beginning, going back to the beginning, Natalie had mentioned that she likes when I say that I convene with my guides, and I do convene with my guides, and that it, I guess I use the word convene because it's a term of honor and respect, perhaps. But going back to the beginning, I was not always aware of the channel of information. I mean, I knew that it wasn't just myself, but I didn't have a full definition or grasp or understanding. So relating to those of you, I often pose the question, you know, what are my guides and guardians? So when I look at this topic, I think of a lot of different things. I believe that there's various levels and that spiritual guardians, there's a range of those, and they each have a purpose. For example, I guess I would use kind of, you know, loosely use the analogy of when we're in high school or even uni, college, that our professors or our teachers, you know, one teacher excels and teaches biology, another one teaches history, another one English. So each of them have their forte and their specialty. That doesn't necessarily mean that they don't all know a little bit about each of the different subjects, but they excel and they prefer. So when we talk about spiritual guardians, and part of why I believe that it's a two-part series is because we talk too much, and the other reason is because there really is a lot to say. There's a lot of experiences, and I know that a lot of people, want to know, okay, do I have guides? What does it mean when you say your guide? How do I get in touch with? Do I have another term that's used often is I have angels looking out after me. And, you know, some of us, you know, when as I always like to, well, this is my guides that always urge me to clarify that this is what they're sharing, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's the only way or it's the right way. This is just the way that we go about it, or they've taught me. And so, you know, when we say spiritual guardian, I do believe that there's various levels and there's different situations, and there's just a really wide or broad range of things, anything from help in decision making or choices to a very literal guardian that might protect you from something that is about to occur, which, you know, as we get into it more, I'll talk more about my belief system in spiritual or divine intervention and how that works. But I believe that's all tied into our spiritual guardians and who watches out. And, you know, even to animals is something that we probably won't get to that till next time, but that I would like to talk about, because there's many people that believe it, and I happen to be one of them, that believe that certain animals that have been our pets can actually be our guardians, and or we have animal totems, or we have animals that protect, again, at different levels. So with that, I would say that we're looking at some things that are more in the angelic realm, and then there's some energies that are more kind of assigned to us, I guess is a way that I would put it, in a guardian type of way. And guardian can mean, again, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. So there's different escorts.
That's right. That's a good one. I like that term, escort.
Yeah, I do too, but, I mean, it can have a different meaning. I know some people are probably getting a little laugh out of that, but we don't mean that kind of escort.
Yeah. That's all right.
So go ahead, Natalie, and I'll turn it back over to you then.
Well, I, as a little girl, and I know people have heard this before, is that, you know, I don't want to say I raised myself. I had good parents, but I wasn't under their guidance constantly. I was kind of left on my own. And I had a family across the street. I'm Italian, and they were Italian. So, you know, right away they brought me right in to their home, and it was great. Their daughter was just a tiny bit older than me, and we started school together. But I never realized this until probably, I don't know, a few months ago maybe, Maya. Maybe you'll recall. But I didn't realize that I was probably being guided then, only I didn't know it. I read a lot. I love to read. I'm a really good reader. You could read real young, really fast, and interpret the stories really well. That's how I got out of doing book reports all the time. And, you know, the written ones, I couldn't stand doing those. I would rather talk in front of the class and let them know what the book is about. And a lot of things, I think that I learned a lot, and it was spiritual help. It was help that I could not see, and I wasn't even aware of it. But as I got older, when I look back at my childhood and what I didn't have as a only child, it was kind of amazing. And my granddaughter and my son wonder, how did I turn out like I did? Well, I think it was a presence with me all the time. And, you know, Maya agrees with me that I didn't get into trouble. Of course, then you really didn't get into trouble. But most kids like to have, you know, somebody to play with, dolls or whatever they're going to do. I really didn't need that interaction at all. I was content and very happy to be in the house, even in the summertime. I mean, even, you know, I was in Michigan. It didn't get super hot like it does down here in South Carolina. But I, you know, we had beautiful days, and I was really happy just kind of being left alone. And I wasn't really a loner. I mean, I liked to be with the kids. You know, I knew everybody in the neighborhood. And then I really didn't see anything or feel anything until I got much older. You can interrupt me anytime you want, Maya. You know, sometimes I can just keep talking and talking and talking. And so it wasn't until I got older and married that I had something appear for me, before me, in a time when I was very ill, I mean super ill. They could only do certain things for me, and the rest was kind of left up to God, you know, but we couldn't do anything more for you. And, you know, I had that visitation. I call it a visitation, where the huge crystal appeared one night while I was ill. It was probably 6-7 feet high on my back wall, and a glow was coming from it. Well, you know, at that time, and I'm repeating myself from other shows, but I did work for a group of, you know, they were all psychics, numerologists, astrologers, all that kind of thing. It was a huge group, and I worked for the sponsor. She sponsored everybody. And, you know, everybody, I would tell everybody about it. Gosh, what was that? Because I was such a novice, and I didn't really believe in myself, I guess. I don't know. But I trusted them, okay? So they all said, well, you know, you were really sick, so that was healing, right? Well, I didn't sit with that. I mean, yeah, yellow is healing and all that kind of good stuff, but I really felt that it meant more for me because I could have been healed while I was asleep. I didn't have to see it, but I woke up. I was awakened, and I woke up till I realized what it was. And where the glow was, my whole room was glowing, a beautiful color of a yellow. I mean, I can still see it in my head. I could draw it. And from that point on, I really never found out what it was. Actually, Maya Moon, when I interviewed her, she told me, my very first interview, she said to me, now don't tell me. She says, I'm going to tell you. Remember that, Maya? Do you remember you telling me that?
I did.
Don't tell me.
I said, don't
I'm going to tell you. And that, you know, made me realize, oh, yeah, it was magnificent. I've never known anybody to have anything like that again. It was a spiritual healing, but I think it was to open something for me. It didn't happen right away. It didn't happen for many years, actually, that I could do things, and they came easy. Now, I didn't see things, and I would hear once in a while, you know, clairaudient. I would hear, but I couldn't do it like say, okay, I want to hear you. I mean, it didn't work that way for me. But I think, and I'm just getting some of this now, it's really funny. I think what that was for me was to not only open a door, but to allow me to do what I'm doing today. And I started it 20 years ago. And this happened when I was 32. So I really think that that has something to do with it. Maybe it was inner knowledge I was receiving. I didn't even know it. I had no clue. It didn't scare me at all. But I don't want to say it was a guardian angel. I think it was something more than that. And so that started me on thinking. And, of course, my friend Barb, who just passed away, everybody knows that, she got me started in astrology. But I really think that that huge crystal, and it was all in a raw shape, like you say it was hanging from the ceiling somewhere. It wasn't formed. It was just all jagged-like, but beautiful, just beautiful. And so I think that was the beginning for me, a realization. And, you know, it's funny, I don't think about it all the time unless we do talks like this, and then I have to bring it up because it was important to me. And down the road, I'm trying to think if there was anything. Well, yeah, I could talk to you about the near miss of a huge accident for my son and my husband and myself, but I don't know if we want to go into that or not. Would you like to intervene, Amaya? You know me, I could just talk the whole hour.
Well, I'll just say a few things and then you can continue.
Okay.
What I was going to interject is that when you were growing up, it was not traditional. It occurred, but it was not common and traditional to have two working parents without a nanny or a housekeeper or someone
right.
that came into the home. Now, what we found is in the 80s is when couples, they started, you know, women's rights movement really went into power and the economy came. And we used to refer to the children that came home by themselves as latchkey children because
yes.
people no longer, there was a lot of negativity surrounding the idea of having a nanny or if you want to use the term maid, which I think can be seen as a derogatory term, but really those people, regardless whether we go back to times of slavery, we go to now, those people loved and took care of children, and their job was an important job. They were shaping children, in some instances, more influential even than the actual parents. So it was a little bit prior to that, so it wasn't a common thing. In the 80s began the latchkey kids. It was the slang term syndrome, and it was very common for kids to come home alone and stay alone without anyone looking out for them, you know, two parents working and so on and so forth. So what I wanted to say in regards to that, I just wanted to bring that up, and you were able to find a really good safe outlet so that you didn't, like so many of the latchkey kids. That's when our, as a society, collectively, universally is what I'm getting at, we began to see problems within our society, and irrelevant of and or regardless of what your faith beliefs are, your religious beliefs, our spiritual beliefs, you know, as a society and as a collective, of course we want our children and our parents healthy, and that means, you know, addiction free and so on and so forth. But when kids were coming home alone and spending hours alone without any type of supervision, without a caretaker, a nanny, a grandmother, an aunt. Luckily, you did have a friend. You had a friend that was not really family in the sense of being biologically related, but family in the sense
right.
of emotionally and spiritually. So you found
oh, yeah.
a very safe outlet so that you didn't turn out. Well, that's when we began to see the growth of gangs and drugs in our youth. And by youth, I mean, I'm talking 12 to 14, 15,
right.
16 versus older. So that was a form of some type of guardianship that you had, although I would give credit to you as a person for being strong and making good choices, certainly, but still you had to have had some type of intervention, some type of guardianship that helped you along the way, intervention of some kind, which was some type of guardian that, you know, that kept you and instilled that in you so that you didn't become, you know, really damaged or getting in with the wrong crowd. Because sadly, so much of our youth, and again, this was a major problem for us, were those that were latchkey kids. And there's been a lot of studies done on that, more on the psychological rather than the spiritual, of course. But in the late 70s, but mostly throughout the 80s is when it became a problem. And so those kids, they may have had access to their spiritual guardians or intervention or angels, whatever you want to call it, but they were distracted by other things, and so it's really sad. So it's really a good thing. And you, when you were ill, the same thing, divine. I know that for you, that you recognize that to be God, but whatever we would see as that greater power or purpose, even if we see that as being within, that too was something that kept you moving through that illness and recovering and overcoming it. I don't want to take away from your own personal strength and courage, but you had assistance just as we all do. We all have, you know, that we make it through whatever trauma or drama or illness, we make it through.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot there. And I also wanted to say that when Natalie had brought that up, and when I interviewed, Natalie interviewed by me, and everyone is interviewed the same, by you do a reading, and it's very relaxed. As a listener and those that work on stars, they know that Natalie's a very loving, compassionate person. She's not making checks, oh, she made a mistake, because, you know, it's always a little intimidating, especially in a interview situation. But when I was beginning to read her energy, sorry, I have dogs, and let me just shut the door. I never know when they're going to decide that there's something really important to bark at. I immediately, I did not necessarily get specific details, but I had said to her, you had a phenomenal metaphysical, spiritual experience. And I said, I mean, we could say that generally to someone, and, you know, they call that a cold reading, where you pick something that you could find something to apply it to and say, oh, yeah, well, maybe it was the time that, you know, I decided not to go into work and I found out later that this happened. I mean, it wasn't like that. It was something that I knew that was, you know, very, it was something that one in a million people would experience, something this dramatic, this amazing,
right,
this wonderful. So I do remember just being, when I connected with that, the feeling and the spirituality of it all. And so, yes, that I do remember tapping into that and knowing that. And then there was a few other things, but that was a major impact in your life, and I feel that it still carries through. So, you know, you are a good example of someone that has had interaction with, and I know you're going to tell the story. I know the story, but so you had that. If we look at that as some type of interaction with a form of a guardian, a mentor. I mean, if we look at a guardian, I believe that we have, again, levels. Like we have like a bodyguard. There's just very many different levels and different ways of that occurring. And I believe in part, not in totality, but in part, that phenomenal experience you had with the crystal in part was a guardianship of your soul and almost a reflection of you, because I noticed how you mentioned that it was raw.
Yes, it was. It wasn't smooth. Like it wasn't. It was like it would be hanging like in a cave, you know, a raw crystal. But the color was a gold color. It was a yellow, golden yellow. Yeah, it was a raw. Edges were not really smooth. They kind of stuck out a little bit. Yeah, it was like that. Mm-hmm.
So I could see.
I have a picture of it.
Mean,
when I got up the next day, I drew a picture of it right away with the date.
And I
know exactly when it happened.
If you ever find someone that's a really good painter, that would be phenomenal to have someone, an artist, paint that. That would really be something. So go ahead. I know you had a very different, and then now when you were ill, okay, and you were sick, now did you just feel that there was more? I mean, I believe that the hands of God or divine creator, I don't want to sound as though I'm preaching and I'm on a podium for one belief of a creator or source, because I believe I'm open to all beliefs. But, for example, divine or creator, God, source, goddess, whatever we see can work through the hands of a nurse or a therapist or even a person like myself in my profession. They can work through me to help a person deal, recover, rebound, navigate, whatever. And the same thing is true, doctors, nurses, therapists, you know. So when you were sick now, did you feel that there was an intervention in the term, in the sense of spiritually, aside from the medical care that you were being given? Did you feel, and aside from your, I know you have a very strong, you know, I know Natalie very well, and even though she's an extremely compassionate, empathic person, sometimes almost too much so, I would say, almost to a fault, like they say.
Yes,
but
it's to a fault, it is.
But you're also a very strong person, and not everyone, I don't think, really appreciates the strength that you have, and they may at times underestimate you and not realize what a very strong woman you have become. But you have gained that, which is the best way to get it. You have gained that strength through your navigations and your life experiences. So tell us about when you were ill, or if you wanted to share that other experience, that's also a good example, I believe, of a type of spiritual guardianship.
Well, you know, I really, after I saw that, and, you know, I was put back to sleep as soon as, because I had to see it, and as soon as whatever that was, I don't know if it was an archangel. I don't know. It was something high up. I just knew that because it was humongous. I mean, it was so big. And as soon as I looked at it, I blinked my eyes, and I thought, wow, this is a really nice dream. And then the light wasn't on. I'm thinking, oh, no, this is not a dream. This is real. And I looked back, and I put my head down, and I went back to sleep. I mean, you know, and later on I thought about that. Well, why did you do that? Why didn't you just sit up and watch it the whole time? But I didn't. I didn't have to. I was put back to sleep. I believed it, and that's all that was necessary, and it did whatever it did for me. Did it help to heal me? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely it did. But it opened a pathway for me, I think. But I didn't really walk down that path for quite a few years. I really didn't. The doctors were really amazed. About 2 years later, they both said to me at different times, we had no idea what we were going to do for you. There was nothing we could do but what we did. And they were guided too, you know, see? They were shown what to do for me so that I would survive.
Let me interrupt you for one moment so that we get the sequence of this correctly, especially for our listeners. So when you had the experience of the crystal, was this before you were ill or during your illness or after?
No, it was at the beginning. It was at the beginning of the whole thing.
Now you already knew you had been diagnosed and you already knew that you had something seriously wrong, or just
yes,
at the beginning?
Yes.
Okay, that's
right.
A
I
lot
knew.
Of things. Okay, so for
the
listeners, right, just so they are following, they're able to follow.
Right.
You know why?
Yeah.
We can talk like we're just oops, we forgot we're on air.
We talk like we're right next to each other usually. That's how easy it is.
Yes.
Everybody
so,
that's
so
listening. I mean, it's really easy to do this. But anyways, I, you know, it took about, that was in August. I had already been into it. As a matter of fact, I even traveled. And, you know, of course, the doctor wasn't sure. I mean, he had to run the test when I came back. I didn't feel good before this trip somehow.
Okay,
and I went into
okay.
him, and then he said, oh, well, when you're leaving? And I said, well, 2 days. Well, that's not going to be enough. You're going to be on the road. He said, okay. So, you know, he took a lot of samples of my blood and stuff. And but the big test came when I got home. Because I was feeling worse, and all he said to me is, if you don't feel good on your trip, stop at a hospital and tell them what I'm telling you, and it will help them to take good care of you. Well, I was fine. I was just really super tired. I, you know, and I thought to myself, oh, my gosh, is this what it's like when you get older? You get really tired like this? I couldn't believe
yeah.
it. And
it was chronic fatigue, you would say, right?
Oh, yeah, constant. Oh, yeah, I couldn't even stand up.
I couldn't stand up.
I really should have been in the hospital, but I chose not to. Well, he said to me, yeah, I can put you in there, and then I'll find out that you walked out, because I just felt that I could get better care at home, and I was alone. My son went over to his Nona's, that's the grandmother, and my husband went to work, and, you know, I was there basically. He said, well, if you're there by yourself, it's okay. I'll let you stay home. But I don't want you doing anything. I mean, I couldn't do anything. So that went on for a few weeks that it was really bad. And then all of a sudden, what they were giving me helped to build me back up again to fight whatever was going on with me and to keep all the other germs away from me, because I was compromised so badly that's what they were worried about.
Right,
yes, that,
right.
You know, somebody would come around me that would have something, and that would be the end of me. But,
right.
So, you know, I didn't really start to feel better probably for another 6 to 8 weeks. I didn't get any worse, let's put it that way. But I had to go in to see them every single day. I mean, it was a real drag having to go in there and get these two injections that really hurt. But, evidently, it was what they chose between the two of them. They sat down and talked about it, and this was their route of trying to get me back on my feet again.
But now, during that time, in addition to the medical, which obviously is important, were you feeling, Natalie, that you were being taken care of and guarded, that you had spiritual guidance?
I wasn't even worried. They were more worried than I was. I wasn't worried at all. Everybody else around me was. I wasn't. I had no fear. I didn't even feel like reading, which was not like me, and I didn't turn the TV on. I just kind of laid around, and I guess I was thinking, or maybe I was absorbing something that I didn't even know. But,
right.
Healing. Constant healing. But... everybody else was more worried about me than I was. No, I wasn't worried. I didn't even think to myself, well, you're going to be okay. I just knew that I was going to continue on, and I didn't think about it. It was the strangest thing. It was like I was taken over, that I was being, almost like I want to say I was being held so that I could get better. And, I didn't do anything. I didn't cook. I didn't wash. I didn't do nothing. I did nothing, absolutely nothing, except that he told my husband, he said, she has to go to the bathroom and come back to bed. That's it. And he looked at him and he said, now, if you ask her to do something for you and I see she's getting worse, I'm going to put her in the hospital, because then you won't be able to ask her to do anything, because it's natural. You know, honey, what's for dinner or whatever? I didn't do anything. I was just
It's really hard when your role at that time was a homemaker, which is the old saying, and not that there's many men that choose that role, so I don't want to sound biased at all, but the saying used to be a man will work from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done.
Yeah, he didn't ask anything of me. But you know what? Maya, my mother-in-law did not live that far, and every day she would bring him food and my son food. I've talked about her before. She was just such a blessing to me, and a lot of times people do not like their mother-in-laws, but my mother-in-law was top drawer. She would have done anything for me. I was like her daughter. She just took me on as her own. She cooked all these beautiful, salad, anything. She'd come in and see me. And she'd say, "You're not cooking. Now remember that. I'm taking it over." I said, "Good." Because I didn't even want to get up. I didn't want to even think about it. And when I look back at it later on, I thought to myself, gee, I wish I could have used that time to maybe learn a skill of some kind, but I wasn't supposed to. I was getting everything that I needed.
Your whole being was, I liked what you said about you felt maybe you were absorbing, and I believe that's exactly what was going on with you, that you were absorbing. I mean, like what the vision that I get, now this comes straight from my guides. This is not, when I say I get, I always say it in the first person, but it's actually meaning in the third person, because it's not, it's transmitted to me, but it's not from me. But the vision I get is an army of energy and entities, spiritual and various levels and with specialties, that were almost surrounding you, keeping away whatever possible germs, so mm-hmm. physically, but emotionally and spiritually, keeping you, in a very positive state. Again, not to take away from your own empowerment that you achieved during that time, but definitely you had an army of guardians with you during that time of illness and that time of challenge, because a person that perhaps had not tapped into that or was not fortunate enough to have that experience, just because they just, for many reasons, probably would have ended up in the hospital, and who knows if that would have ended up being
right.
a fatality or not, or if it would have caused.
Yeah, there was another man who was ill, but I never found out about him. But he was ill at the same time I was, and I don't even remember eating a lot of food either. I mean, I never went out into the kitchen area to eat. I mean, I didn't do anything. And but I'm sure my mother-in-law came in. It wasn't something you could catch. It wasn't like that. I'm sure she came in and brought me special stuff. Her famous soups and stuff, light stuff that I could have. Because after that time, I had trouble with beef and pork. And then later on, I had trouble with chocolate. I mean, I can eat a little bit of chocolate. I haven't had beef or pork since I got sick, believe it or not. I have never had it.
Right.
I'm a chicken and a fish person. I love salmon, so I stayed away from it. And I don't know. Maybe I really didn't need that kind of food in me. But I just always stayed away from it right after that. But she would bring me, she made good soups, and so I probably ate a lot of that. I'm thinking, right from scratch,
She was Italian.
Oh yes, and she loved to nurture. And my husband was her favorite out of the four kids. He was her favorite too. So here she had two kids that were her favorites. She had a daughter, but she didn't treat her daughter like she treated me. And even the daughter told me, "You're more her daughter than I am," and I agreed with her. But there was just a bond, probably from previous lifetimes or something, and that lady just. She was amazing. I could always call upon her. So I did get better. I did improve. I started back, because I worked at the YWCA and the tennis club, and I didn't want to go back if by chance I was contagious or something. But the doctors, both of them, told me, "No, you're not contagious." And so I went back, but it was only on the weekends, so I didn't do anything stressful or extenuating. I really didn't. It took me probably till the following spring that I felt like I was back to normal. But I think now back that you're right. I was being really taken care of by entities that you could not see. That's why I always tell people, believe in things that you cannot see, because I can attest to it. I know. I was privileged to see something so tremendous as that, and it started me on this whole thing. I mean, it took years for me to be doing what I'm doing now, or even the last when I first started my first website. But I've had a lot of things happen to me that have been very spiritual, and it's not that I feel special. I feel chosen for something, and I don't even think I've reached my potential yet, to tell you the truth. So, yeah, it was scary, but it wasn't. I wasn't afraid. Everybody else was, but I wasn't. I mean, I could have died. There's no doubt about it, but I wasn't worried. Nope. I was being taken care of. I was embraced by whatever the eye could not see. I was embraced. And I don't know what that was that came to me, if it was an archangel, if it was Jesus, because, you know, I believe in Jesus highly, only because he was an actual man. But, I mean, it could have been, Archangel Michael. It could have been anything you can imagine. It could have been, and I never questioned it.
It could have been more than one. It could have been,
yes.
You know. Now I know we're getting up there in the hour, so did you want to go ahead and share the vehicle experience? Because
that's a good one.
Experience in a very different way. So
yeah.
That would be, I think, a good story. A good true story to share. To show a different type of spiritual guardianship or spiritual guardian.
Oh, yeah. That was a big one, too. That was probably about 5 or 6 years ago. My granddaughter was playing soccer, and my son came to get my husband and I to take us to the game. And we were down this road. And I was in the back seat behind my son, and my husband was up front with my son. So, you know, I didn't see really the gist of it until as it was happening, almost like in slow motion. We were driving, and then all of a sudden, I see this red coming at us. Well, it was a car coming at us, and it was a reaction that my son had. I thought he turned the wheel to move the car out of the way, but he didn't do that. We got out of the car, and he grabbed me. He said, "Mother, come over here. I got to tell you something." And there was glass. There was glass on our hood.
Okay,
So
wait a minute. Taking a step back, you saw red, and there was actually another vehicle did impact. There wasn't an impact. It did.
Well, there wasn't really
an
impact. But if you would have looked at the car, I mean, there wasn't a dent or anything. We just had all of his glass on our hood. But we didn't get hit. So, you know, I walked over to my son, and we checked on the man. My son and I both checked on the man. My husband was okay. I mean, we weren't hurt at all. And he just said, "Can you call my wife?" So we took care of that. And then, of course, the fire trucks and everything came. But before they came, my son grabbed me and he said, "Come over here, I want to tell you something." And I said, "What?" He said, "I didn't move the car." And I said, I stopped, and I, because of what I saw in the, and how fast it was, and the jerk of the car turning to the left, I said,
turning out of the path of this oncoming.
Yes. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. It was, think of it in slow motion, like this car is coming at us, because he was making a left, and he tried to run the light, get through, and a lady ran the light on the other way. She ran her light, and he tried to miss her. He did miss her, but he was coming at us. So if you think about it in slow motion, my son and I have talked about this a lot, slow motion coming at us, and it's almost like it's a movie. And you see this car coming towards us, and it doesn't really hit us, but maybe it really did, because that glass came all over our hood. I mean, there was pieces of it everywhere. He had damage to his car, but we had nothing to ours, nothing. And what happened was, as my son told me, he said, that wheel turned in such a way I couldn't have turned it enough to get us out of the way.
Right. He wouldn't have been fast enough. to be able to turn
it. No, and the wheel wouldn't have turned that hard to turn it to get us out of the way. And he looked at me and he said, well, what do you think? And I said, well, you know what I think. You know, I said, we had intervention. We had spiritual intervention.
And you had a guardian. However that was presented to you, whether it was from God, divine, angelic, it was a guardian in the fact of it literally took control of your vehicle and guarding you and your family so that you all were safe. And take us, Natalie, back to that moment. Had that wheel not turned, what would you say would have been the likely outcome had you not had that guardian or guardians?
Well, the car would have hit us head on. I was in the back. It probably would have hit my son. I mean, he would have, because my son, husband was in the passenger side. He had a seatbelt on, but it would have probably hurt him, maybe even fatally. I don't know. I might have been hurt, but that man was really coming at us, and it was going so fast. And I just thought of that slow motion kind of thing. It's unique when you kind of see the glass flying, but the car at that moment after the glass is flying, that car is turned right out of your way. The man in the car said to me, he said, oh, my gosh, I must have hit your car. And I looked at him and I said, no, you didn't hit our car at all. I said, look. He looked over. He said, oh, my God.
So what was the glass from? Was that from?
Well, the glass was from the front of his vehicle, from his headlights. You know, his lights in the front, that's where the glass came from. So, you know, when you think about that, it was almost like a jolt up, but that wheel turned so sharp. No man could have turned that wheel like that. That was that was something that was very extraordinary. And it's like, you know, all of a sudden there's something that's going to be prevented. My son and I both, we still talk about it because he'll remind me. Sometimes when he'll get a little negative, and I'll say, okay, now you think back. Remember? He said, oh, Mom, it was because of you. I said, why? He said, no. He said, Mom, you don't even know it. So I don't know. All I know is we were spared, and the gentleman was spared. I think he had a broken arm or something, or collarbone or something, because he really couldn't move. His airbag came out. We didn't have any of that. The car was untouched, not a bit, except for this glass all over the place from his car. So if that would have meant that car actually should have hit us, and that, think of it, like I said, like in slow motion. Okay, it's coming at you. It hits you, but it really doesn't hit you. Something was in between it to prevent it from actually hitting the car, and his glass just blew out and went up on top of the hood. And I kind of saw the wheel turn, but I was seeing this red come at us. And, you know, I didn't even think of a car. It happened so fast. I didn't think a car was coming at us. I just knew it was red. It was red. And then my son told me. I mean, he was shaken up. He said, oh, my. He said, oh, this was because of you. He said, God was saving you. I said, but you were in the front. I was in the back. He said, nope, Mom, it's you. You're the one that did this. You're the one, you're the reason. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I was very, very grateful. And we weren't even shaken up, and he looked at me, and he put his arms around me, and he said, well, I don't want to say let's do that again. You know, we kind of smiled at each other, and I said, no, but you know what you can do is you can thank who's ever helping us, God, a big archangel, something very powerful pulled us out of the way. And you hear stories like that often, you know, that they're near misses, and that was a total near miss, and it could have been devastating. Probably my son would have been really hurt, if not fatally, because it was coming right at him, and I was right behind him. So that car could have plowed right through us. And I'm very grateful, and I don't remember these things all the time unless somebody brings them up, like we have to talk about it. But it's just to attest, to tell people, believe in things that you cannot see. I'm proof. I am walking, living proof. It does happen, and usually when you least expect it.
I've had experiences as well. And I did want to mention, too, so there's no misunderstanding, the only difference, the only thing that would separate, I often am asked, you know, about people that have maybe more unfortunate, more challenges. And I don't, my guides don't provide an answer because there's some questions that for now as humans we simply have to accept and we have to continue on our journey. And I believe in the afterlife we will be provided with the answers, but it won't be important like it is now. But there's equality as far as why did this person receive a miracle and this person didn't. It's all tied up into our lessons and our journey. So I made a statement, and I want to retract part of that because after my afterthought of that is I made it sound like, you know, some of us get this and some of us don't. And the difference, if there's a difference within our own self, the only difference would be if we are without any hope, like what you're saying, Natalie, if we don't have hope and we don't have the belief that potentially something mm-hmm. can come, a miracle, an intervention, we can't find a job and we have to hang on to faith that something tomorrow, the interview will go well and we'll get hired.
Right.
If we do not allow ourselves to be open to that hope, then that would be the only thing that could prevent, and it doesn't always necessarily, sometimes we are, you know, we're removed from that hardship or whatever, regardless, but that's the only difference. There is not, I'm not born special and I got this, but you don't get any
right.
of it, or this person doesn't get any of it.
My belief system is very strong. It's
right.
It's,
we want to have
it's super strong.
Have,
you could never take it away from me, never.
Right. And
we
feel that way too. And so you have to, for your listeners out there, no matter how devastating things seem, remember that just like the Earth continually moves on its axis, even though we don't feel, we're not like, oh, there goes the Earth again, better grab something and hold on. The Earth is in continual, perpetual motion. And our lives, our energy, literally and metaphorically, spiritually and emotionally, we are in constant motion. Everything is always shifting. So the only way things remain the same is if we absolutely refuse to allow those doors to open. And so in order to be a part of this amazing universal and collective energy and to be connected with that higher source, and to be able to acknowledge, recognize, and be aware of, and then embrace our guardians and all that they do for us, we have to maintain faith and hope. And it's scary because, you know, when we have hope, we tend to set up expectations. And let me just state very clearly that hope and expectations are very different. Expectations is the determination of one particular or one specific outcome that will bring change or bring about what it is that we desire. Hope, on the other hand, is just a door that's open with the knowledge and the grace and the belief that it's possible and that eventually something is going to go and change for the better and be positive. So that is one thing, and to be able to be more aware and to be able to interact perhaps with our spiritual guardians, we have to have faith because if we are without faith and we are without hope, we have no hope, we're hopeless, then we could have an intervention, we could have something happen, and we won't recognize it for the beautiful, joyous, amazing, phenomenal experience that it is. Instead, we'll say, well, it's just coincidence. I must have turned the wheel. So someone in your situation with the vehicle would discount that as being anything
yeah.
miraculous, and they would not allow that to uplift them. So that's one thing that I would say, you know, we're getting pretty close to close. And I do have a couple stories next week that I really do
to
share. But I do want to say that if there's any difference between this one and that one, it's that we have to maintain, no matter what it takes, we have to maintain our hope. And when we do that, although disappointment is not nearly as difficult with hope as it is with expectation, hope is the key. It's the secret to, I believe it is anyways, and that's that when I say I again, that would be me personally, but also what my guides teach when I say, well, why does this person have this and this person has that? Aside from our karma, our lessons, our soul contracts, and so on, we are all given the opportunity for our spiritual guardians in every sense of the word, in every way in which we would define such. But we must have hope, and we must have faith. Now, I know, Natalie, that you would agree, or I would think, knowing you, that you would agree that that's true, that even in the most, the darkest of days, we don't, you know, we don't have to get up and whistle and sing a song and say, oh, it doesn't matter, I just got fire, I'm still going to sing and dance. But we can have, you know, we can have that little bit of hope. I know that it can get better. I'm going to focus my energy on that. So,
And sometimes these things can occur and you're not planning for it, because, of course, a couple of weeks ago I had something else happen, as you know, we'll talk about next week, but we'll let you start the show off. But, yeah, I mean, I don't look for things to happen. I'm just, you know, I'm just like this little vehicle that, okay, well, we're going to get her over there and now we're going to get her over here. And I just go along because I believe in things that you cannot see. And that's the truth. I've always been like that. Even as a little girl, I didn't realize what was going on, really, but I always felt nothing was going to happen to me. I always felt I was going to be okay. And, yeah, so it really, it's tough sometimes on people to feel that way when a lot of things keep happening to them, and I don't have those answers. I really don't. And you'll hear about people having a near miss, a near that, all of that, and then they go on to do something else. Well, maybe that's why they were spared at that time, because they had something else that they were going to be doing years down the road, so they had to be there. And, you know, a lot of things are unexplainable. We can't explain it. Well, don't worry about it. Just know that, you know, just believe in things that you cannot see, because I do it every single day. That's what I do. And I have down days, too. I have terrible days sometimes. And I have wonderful people around me. I have Maya, and I have a Stars Rainbow Rose that I've known since, she's been with me since 99. But even so, you know, you have to have that. I mean, everybody gets down, and I call it in the well, in that black well, and you got your fingers hanging on, and, oh, God, I don't know. I just don't think I can. I just don't want to do this anymore. I don't think that, but I just think, God, how much darker can it get? You could fall down that well, and it'll be really dark. But, yeah, that's my belief system, and then next week we'll talk about Jesus in my dream and this other thing that happened to me. And I know you're going to have some really good stuff to say. Maya, you're always wonderful and enlightening for me, and I'm very blessed. I've said that many times. I'm surrounded by just the best in the world. I really am. And Candy, she's been typing away in the room, and she's a wonderful spirit in there, and she does so much, and she loves what she does. And you know, she was typing things to me, and I go back and read them, I just have the best. I really do. I don't know how it can get any better, but you never know. I'm willing to let it in, right? So, okay, well, I guess that's it, Maya, my darling Maya Moon. We had a wonderful topic here. We're going to continue this on with part two next week. When we talk about spiritual things like this, you know, you probably really love hearing from Maya, because she's got the wealth of information she has is just tremendous. I can tell you some of my experiences, but she is in the know. She knows an awful lot, and I'm just really lucky to have her in my life. And thank Candy, you, I love you. I know you're listening. And Maya Moon, I love you. And we're going to do this again next week, so hopefully everybody will return, and we get a lot of listeners that I don't even know of that are listening. And so everybody have a great week. And next Monday, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, we will be here. Okay, love you both. Love you, Maya Moon. Love you, Candy. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.